welcome to the first podcast of the autumn period from London Chess Boxing. I'm Tim Woolgar.
And I'm the Grievous Bodily Farmer.
And I think apologies for the absence of our comrade Xena the Technician.
Yeah, we are missing Xena, definitely.
So I feel that Xena was very much the voice of moderation, the voice of reason, and without her, because she's actually committed to some fairly heavy work schedule at the moment, so she can't be with us. Without her, things could spiral out of control. So we should try not to let that happen.
Do you think maybe you should be the good cop then and play Xena's role? Or do you not think that's put within your capabilities?
I could try that. Yeah, I'll try it. I'm not very good at being a good cop, but I'll try and be the good cop. Okay. Yeah.
So we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, the last show was, I don't know, there's a lot of things in that show that I've never seen before.
That have never been seen before.
Never happened in chess boxing.
One round checkmate.
Yeah.
Happened
twice.
Twice. Never happened in the 12-year history of chess boxing. And it's just one of those nightmarish situations as the promoter that you just think, well, thank goodness that players are not going to let that happen. And for it to happen once was very upsetting because both of those fighters were really good boxers.
Well, they've been training for months as well not to actually throw a punch. Well, must be incredibly frustrating if you lose.
That's the nature of sport, isn't it? I mean, you go, you know, you train 4 years for a 100-meter Olympics final and then it's over in 10 seconds, isn't it?
Yeah, but at least you get to run. It's like doing that and then somebody's telling you you've already lost.
Well, not if you get knocked out in one of the early qualifying rounds. You know, you've gone all that way and...
True.
It's the way sport is, you know.
Because one of the fighters who lost was very experienced, wasn't he?
Well, the first one, I have to say that one of the fighters was a less experienced chess player. And so he had a defensive, Paul J.D. Roberts. Mm. He had a defensive plan, which sounded good, but he had only really practiced it with the white pieces. And unfortunately, he drew black. But he essentially made the same moves that he would have done with white, except with black. And
so he just did it without even thinking, just kind of verbatim.
Yeah, literally. I mean, he must have made those first 10 moves in 10 seconds.
Well, that's what I understand as well. He was moving so quickly. He knew he was the weaker chess player. And you would think that you would, you know, try and eke out a few seconds for each move that you're making. Otherwise, it could be over very quickly.
It was completely, you know, suicidal play. And, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, I'm sure he must realise that himself.
I think he was very frustrated, as you can imagine, after that.
Yeah, of course he was. Yeah. Of course he was. And
I felt for him.
Can happen to anyone. Anyone can make a tragic mistake.
So that's happened. And I remember it happening thinking, well, that's never happened before.
And I remember thinking, well, thank goodness, we've got a great fight coming up
exactly,
next.
Exactly, yeah. We've got something to
Richard, the Razor Fraser, yeah, against the Italian middleweight champion, Daniel Dada Rota.
Yeah.
And, you know, Fraser, how many fights has he had? Six, seven. He's one of the more experienced. And then, boom, checkmate, after about eight moves.
He just didn't see it, though. He didn't see it, did he? Yeah.
Daniel laid a sneaky trap.
And yeah, but he should have seen through it.
He should have done, but, yeah, you know, to be fair to Richard, you know, I've been caught out like that before. I'm sure every chess player has been caught out by that trap before. And, you know, one of those things. Again, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, I'm sure that, you know, Richard would have played a lot more solidly and just made sure that he covered that H7 square. You know, if you really don't want to get checkmated inside of 10 moves, it shouldn't happen, no matter if you're playing Garry Kasparov or who it is. Mm. And in a chess boxing match, when you probably got the edge in the boxing ring, you really shouldn't let it happen. You know, stick a knight on g6 and, you know, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, but it's the adrenaline of the event, isn't it? You get up there and it's one of the most exciting things anybody could do. And it just goes to your head, doesn't it? It's very hard to stay calm in those circumstances.
That is the nature of the sport, yes. It's all about keeping calm under those pressurised conditions. But it just seemed very...
But for him, somebody who's done it so many times, you'd think he... Or perhaps, you know, he was almost too relaxed.
Exactly. It just goes to show that you just never can... I don't think he was complacent. I don't really think you can fault him. I just think that he didn't see that coming. And it's a little bit like, I don't know, any form of painful learning experience. You have to go through it before you will make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Well, I think Daniel will be back, won't he, to hopefully have a complete fight where he actually throws a punch. That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, bearing in mind...
He was really happy with the win. I mean, he was ecstatic.
He was really giving it the big I am afterwards, wasn't he? Fair play to him, though. He did win, so yeah. Without throwing a punch.
I would have liked
those Italians.
I would have liked to see... I mean, Richard is not... He's not an experienced boxer. I think it would have been quite a good fight, wouldn't it?
It would have been amazing because Richard... really aggressive going forward. Daniel, very resilient and defensive. And, you know, as I say, with Daniel maybe with the slight edge on the chessboard, it was really had all the elements of a classic encounter. But anyway, it didn't happen. And it's second one of the night. I mean, I felt the bottom dropping out of my world at that point. Not that anyone cares, you know. I mean, you know, why should anyone care about what my troubles are, you know?
No, but you're concerned for the guys, the fans, aren't you? I mean,
yeah, that's right. I'm concerned for the fans. That's right. Yeah, of course. That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the fans. I want them to have a good night out. And thankfully, the last bout of the night delivered big style. And when I say big, I'm talking Sergio Levesque. Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, of course. Big. I forgot. Oh, my goodness.
How could you forget that? That was insane.
I don't know. I just thought that he would cover up and he would just let Daniel do all the legwork and throw all the punches, and because I've seen him do that before, and he'll just hug his way to winning the chess game. But because he knew Daniel had him on the board, or it was going to be tight, he just came out all guns blazing. I've never seen anything like it.
I think that Italians, the Italian chess boxing team, are great strategists, and they will do.
Whatever it takes
to win that particular fight. They will not do the same thing in every fight.
Mm.
So Gianni Burli, the coach or the maestro, as they call them in Italy, of Sergio, and Sergio would have sat down and come up with a plan, and probably would have sat there and thought, I bet this is what they're expecting from us, so we'll do the opposite.
Which I think Daniel was. And he's also got a great moustache, that guy, as well, isn't he? He's fantastic.
Gianni?
Yeah.
He's
immense.
A fantastic character and a really high-quality boxing coach.
Mm. Well, it certainly showed in that. I mean, I think Daniel not only was just completely out fought and out strategized. Is that a word?
Out strategized. You can say that. I thought that Daniel probably could have done a little bit more. Having said that, he didn't really leave much behind in the ring. You know, you cannot fault him for effort.
No, definitely not.
And, you know, it's his first time, you know, and that counts for an awful lot. You know, it takes a lot away from you, those first night nerves.
There's a real juxtaposition as well. You've got Daniel, sort of Scandinavian, quite tall, absolutely ripped, wasn't he?
Yes.
And against Sergio, he's got the experience.
Yeah.
Not quite... in as good a shape, I think it's fair to say.
Carrying a few a little bit of timber.
If you were to look at them, you'd think Daniel's got this. There's no chance. But he just had so much energy. He just didn't give up, Levesque, did he? And every time he took a punch, he gave two back.
Yes. Yeah.
It was really impressive.
Well, huge performance from both fighters. Daniel was extremely brave. You know, he really, you know, cannot fault either of them. And it was an awesome chess match, awesome fight, awesome chess boxing bout. And everyone who saw it will remember it for a long time, I'm sure.
I agree. Yeah. And then we did put on it. We had our reserve fighters go on, didn't we?
Oh, that's right. Crazy Arms and
Yogi.
Yogi, they came on. What's Yogi's real name?
Liam
McPherson.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and they really were crazy because they just jumped out of nowhere and said, "Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah,
we'll fill a hole."
That's why they call them Crazy Arms.
But funnily enough, after they jumped in and done it, we had the idea that the two first round defeaters could have matched off against each other because they were in a fairly similar weight category. But by the time we'd had that idea,
yeah.
too late because Yogi and
already there
hogging the limelight.
Yeah, they certainly seem to enjoy themselves anyway.
So that was the last show. The only thing better than that possibly will be the next show.
Yeah. When is that, Tim?
That's December the 17th at York Hall, Bethnal Green.
I can't wait.
Check our website, londonchessboxing.com, for details.
And have we got a card for that lined up yet? Or
oh, we've got a fantastic card. I mean, we have got an amazing card lined up for that. I've even think I've got 7 bouts or something 7? Ridiculous like that. Yeah, I mean, a lot.
Is that too many to have in one night, isn't it?
We can squeeze them in. We'll start a bit earlier, I think. We're probably going to start the fights at something like 7 o'clock or 7:15.
So per pound, you're going to be getting a lot more action, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And, you know, we've got, let's just talk through the build. Danny Bent versus Greg Drack. Mm-hmm. Danny Boy Bent has been in chess boxing before.
Yeah, he had a great fight.
He had a great fight against Henry Blanchard.
Entertainer as well.
He lost, a good entertainer. Yeah. But Danny runs Project Awesome, which is, you know, it's well named. It's a fantastic project. People meet up in the early hours, like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., and do these crazy circuits all over different parts of London, on the South Bank, on Hampstead Heath, and so on. And this Project Awesome thing he's got going is insanely good. It's fantastic. I urge you to check out his website, his Facebook page, and join up with that. It's really superb. And Greg Drack, by contrast, has got a similar type of his opponent, except they go out at night.
Okay.
So you've got morning, day versus night.
Night owl and
Greg's bird. Greg's is called Midnight Runners.
Okay.
And I've got to say, Midnight Runners does appeal to me a lot because you're meeting up at midnight or whenever, 11 o'clock, you go running for a couple of hours and then end up at, you know, Fabric or something like that.
Oh, really?
Then,
and you go out?
Go out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like those day raves. People go for a rave before they go to work, like at 5 in the morning.
Morning rave without alcohol and
without anything. Alcohol. Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Midnight Runners versus Project Awesome is the headline act, and both of those guys are very interesting people, very innovative, and
sounds like we should get them on the podcast.
We should actually. Yeah. That is definitely something we should do.
Mm.
Okay, so then other than that, we've got a man, Cameron Little, who's very well named because he's 6'7", 7 inches tall.
Like Little John,
against Max Gershfield. And Max is from Amsterdam. He's a copywriter for an advertising agency.
So I know Cameron's quite good on the board, isn't he?
He's very good on the board. Geolocation expert.
Okay.
Then we've got Crazy Arms Reed back in again, but he's against Tiro.
Really?
Yes. Finland's chess boxing supremo.
Okay, so Tero, I've played Tero at chess a few times, and he's probably a little bit better than me, but he's going to fall short, I think. I mean, Matt's got a much better chess rating, I would have thought. So is Tero going to have to go at him in the ring, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, Matt's not unbeatable at chess. I mean, I've certainly beaten Matt before, and I'm not much better than you.
I think you are. I think you probably are.
Well, yeah, Tero has got his work cut out there, but at the same time, you know, I feel that he is a person who will do the work. You never know what level of chess he may turn out on the day.
I think he's committed.
Last time you played him was over a year ago, wasn't it?
Probably, yeah. Mm. That's right. Be good to see those guys over again, actually, wouldn't it?
A year's a long time in chess boxing.
It's true. You can do a lot in a year, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Okay, then, I mean, we can't go through the whole card, it's too many, but there's a fantastic undercard. Okay. Maybe talk about that in the next podcast.
Okay, brilliant.
What else? Over the summer, how was your summer?
My summer, it was busy. I've been out in South Africa again, and I've been, some of the, I don't know if you remember, some of the old podcasts I was talking about, these students that they got through to their regional finals for their group of chess under 16. They've now got through to the final, so we've been raising some money so they can go to Johannesburg for I think it's a couple of weeks and play in the national final. So I'll let you know how they get on.
I think chess is actually going to pick up in Africa, because there's that film out now, isn't there, about a female Ugandan chess champion?
Oh, right, okay.
It's a Disney film. I've just suddenly started seeing promotion for it. It's come out of nowhere. I didn't know it was happening. I can't remember the title of it. It's like Cantway or something like that. And it's it looks really good.
Unusual premise.
It is an unusual premise for a Disney film of all things, but
yeah.
There you go. It's about how chess affects this girl's life in her community in Uganda, and how, you know, really it transforms the life of her and everyone who knows her. And it's a true story, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, these guys, I mean, so Justice, one of them, who's much better at me than chess, which is not saying a lot, but, you know, he's still 15. He could end up going places, you know, if his career takes off, he could travel the globe playing chess, potentially, couldn't he?
That's the beauty of chess. Mm. It's a game that unlocks many doors.
Mm.
And all it takes is hard work and effort, and everyone can access it. Mm.
And yeah. how's the diet going? Because last time we did a podcast, you were doing your
12-3.
Yeah, the 12-3
was working really well right up until June 12th when the last show was.
Right.
And then on June 12th, I completely cracked and was like, felt under so much stress and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
That show, all the drama that happened at it. And by the end of it, and by the time we packed everything away, all I wanted to do was have a drink.
Mm.
One drink turned into three or four, and next thing you know, I'm waking up the next morning with a hangover.
Yeah.
And then...
Then you get the munchies.
I got the munchies, yeah. And then 12-3 went out the window. But I'm going to bring it back in now. I've got some days scheduled next week for serious, just nothing but training. I've got 3 days off next week. I'm just going to do some
physical training.
I'm going to do some running. I've got a thing I do with running with a weights bar.
Okay.
So I'm going to just do that for a bit and just suddenly get my body back into training, and then I'm going to... By Christmas, you'll see a brand new Tim.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing a brand new Tim.
Yes.
Okay, is there anything else we should cover off? I think...
Well, the other interesting thing is, talking about hangovers, I've been talking to...
Ah, yes.
NHO, the No Hangover.
Yeah, I could do it. I've done with one of those this morning.
Well, this is it. I've not had... Because maybe of that experience in June, I haven't actually had a big session since then.
All right, okay.
So they've sent me some samples.
And you've not had a chance to try them out.
I haven't had a chance to try them out. But
the thing is, if I ever was
that drunk, I would probably not remember that I've got those tablets.
Yeah, maybe. You need some way of reminding yourself.
I know.
I don't know how you would do that, but...
Put them on the pillow at night? Because you're supposed to take them before you go to bed.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, not in the morning. It's too late by then, is it?
Too late by then. Don't take it during the night. Take it NHO, No Hangover. It's a vitamin. Mm. But, you know, let's hope that
if you've got some, I'll take some. I'll try some.
I'll bring some.
Yeah.
I'll bring them next week.
We could do a review. We'll have to...
I'll tell you why. I've got them in my bag, so I'll give you one now.
Okay.
And we'll do a review. Force ourselves to get drunk this week somewhere down the line. So hopefully No Hangover will be involved in the next show.
But we'll need a control as well, so we'll have to go out twice, drink exactly the same amount, and one time one time don't.
I want to go out in East London as well, because I want to know what the young people of East London, like yourself,
I'm not a young person,
are drinking when they go out.
It's pale ale, isn't it?
I don't know.
You're a boy.
Is it all just pale ale?
Some people drink lager, but, you know, we don't mix with those types, do we? Fired up on lager on a Saturday night.
What do you mean? That we sold nothing but lager at the last show. It was Carlsberg or nothing.
People were guzzling it. It's the only term for what they were doing.
That was...
Responsibly.
That was my choice as well. So, you know, lay off the lager drinkers. But the whole of... The world is now involved in
planning the next event.
The next event. Is that really what this podcast should be about?
I don't know. Or maybe we can edit out that bit.
Cut that bit out?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I kind of like it in a way.
Okay.
It's like getting under the surface.
Yeah, behind like a fly on the wall podcast.
It's like a beetle under the wallpaper. Okay, that's it then.
Okay, well, that's it from me, the Grievous Body Farmer.
And that's it from me, Tim Woolgar.
And we'll see you next week. And we hope to see you at the show, which is
December 17th
at York Hall, Bethnal Green, East London. See you there.